But with the help of Joanna Macy, I realised that it's exciting to read scientists talking about the world. It throws new and invigorating light for me on conditionality. And also familiar in many ways. So the self in process, they talk about. Okay, it's like a stream. We're used to that. A stream of being, a stream of consciousness, flowing, not able to be isolated or fixed. But the self in process is also like a fire, in constant interaction with its environment, consuming and constituted by its impressions, fueled by sights, sounds, touches, tastes, smells, mental objects, and driven by the wants that they awaken. That's just the same as the Buddha in the fire ceremony. So co-igniting with what it perceives and on which it acts, the self cannot be considered apart from the environment. I just think that's such a fresh way of thinking of it, co-igniting. That's what our consciousness is doing constantly. I sometimes think of it as being like spark plugs. You know how spark plugs work in a car? Like that. But also, these scientists, to listen to them talk, it's the pattern maintained by our transactions with the surrounding world, which is the touchstone of our personal identity. We are but whirlpools in a river of ever-flowing water. We are not stuff that abides, but patterns that perpetuate themselves. Or put more simply, I seem to be a verb. And as Reginald Ray keeps on saying, remember, the deeper truth is relational. The deeper truth is relational. So listening to scientists talk about the world is often beautiful. The individuality of the body is that of a flame rather than that of a stone, of a form rather than of a bit of substance. Structure is a result of function, and the organism resembles a flame rather than a crystal. A living cell can be compared to a flame. Here is matter going in and out and being burned. It cannot be defined because it's not a system at rest. It's not a system at rest. It's a flow. It's a mystery. It's alternation. Alteration. It's exchange. Remember Padmasambhava, faith helps you gain trust in total surrender. And it's surrendering to this as a primary fact. Alteration, exchange. And it's vital to realise it because the conventional notion of self has narrowed the horizons both of our cognition and of our compassion. So liberation, according to the Buddhists, is liberation of mind, for it is mind that is enslaved. It's liberated not through setting itself apart from phenomenality, but increasing its awareness of it. So it all comes back to mindfulness and metta in many ways. So in practice, having faith that your efforts will bear fruit, that it's worth making efforts, even when you can't see their results. So as I remember saying in the talk last year, having faith that force will find shape, but no shape can hold. Today's solutions, how often are they tomorrow's problems? I was thinking of the Mitra system, actually. I thought that. I'm just thinking how it calls for patience, for perspective. Having faith in the forces we cannot see, in our yidams, but also in intangibles in many ways, intangibles in communication. The thing that came to my mind was being able to give the benefit of the doubt.